The first reading's from Song of Songs, 8, verses 6 and 7. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. Its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. And the second reading is 1 Peter 3, verses 3 to 5. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of a great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands.
Thank you. Not so fast. I think he deserves a little round of applause. It's not easy, and he's from our youth, so well done. You did great. Well done. Okay, and now I'd like to welcome up Keith, please. He's going to bring us our sermon for this evening. And may I pray for you, please?
Please do.
Before you start, thank you. Okay, Lord Jesus, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We praise your name, Father. We pray that you open our hearts, open our ears, and just let us receive everything that you have here for us tonight, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good evening. We're following through on the significant relationships theme. See how close I can get to the edge without falling off. Okay. And tonight we're on to levels of intimacy. Last week, as been mentioned already, Will was speaking on friendship, and now we're looking at levels of intimacy. And I'd like us to be thinking particularly about appropriate levels of intimacy for our relationships. But let's first of all talk about what intimacy is. You can get a number of different definitions, one of which is close familiarity or friendship, and perhaps that particularly related to the story that Will was talking about last week between Jonathan and David. Or it could be a cozy and private or a relaxed atmosphere. You know, we're in a very intimate setting, and sometimes church can feel very intimate, or our connect groups can. Or euphemistically these days, it's used for sexual intercourse. In the old days, it was Adam knew Eve. Now it's Adam and Eve were intimate. But intimacy, so a psychologist says, is a process whereby we feel truly seen, known by, and connected to our partner. Somebody else has said that intimacy's true meaning is actually into me see. Clever that, isn't it? Into me see. It's a blending of our heart with another's heart so that they can see into us and know what we're really like, and we can see into them. It's a mixing of our life with another's. It's a mingling of souls. It's a sharing of hearts. And it's something we all long for because God built it into us that we need intimacy. And we might think, particularly for a woman, that it probably revolves more around being loved and cherished. And for a man, perhaps it revolves more around admiration and respect. But we all seek intimacy. And in the best of all relationships, there's a mutual dying to self and living and giving for the sake of the other. It's something that brings two people together, and we're going to look at that in a bit more depth. But just a quote from Erwin Raphael McManus in his book Soul Cravings. He says, we are most alive when we find intimacy, most devastated when we lose it, most empty when we give up on it, most inhuman when we betray it, and most passionate when we pursue it. So intimacy is something that is built into our deepest psyche, if you like. Now, psychologists have identified four levels of intimacy. And if you like to think of, depending on your background, you might want to think of an archery target, or you might want to think of a dartboard. But it's basically the same picture. You have four concentric circles. And the outer one would be the physical, the next one in the emotional, the next one in the intellectual, and finally, the spiritual, the bullseye, if you like. If we want to talk about the physical level of intimacy, we're talking at its very basic level at an outer sort of awareness. So I might look at a woman and say, wow, she's drop dead gorgeous. Or a woman might look at me and say, enough said. Anyway, it's the outward look. And actually, it's very important because most relationships will start with an outward attraction. And TV buys into that in a big way. You know, there's something called, I think it's called Naked Dating. I've never watched it, but I think the name probably speaks for itself. And things like Love Island are very much based on the same thing. It starts off with a physical attraction, and then the rest of the series is all about people getting to know each other and trying out different partners until they kind of understand how the physical relates to everything else. But really, it's not very deep. And this morning when I was talking about this, I gave away really how old I am these days by talking about a very old advertisement. I can't even remember what it was advertising, but there was this really chic-looking lady in a very exotic location. It was the actress Lorraine Chase, who I think took her pension several years ago. But she was looking wonderful, and a man came up to her with a chat-up line. He said, "Were you wafted here from paradise?" And she said, "No, mate, Luton Airport." And as soon as she opened her mouth, the whole picture changed. But the thing is that actually for many of us, the external picture is really important. And it is, in a sense, the very first level, the very first thing we're aware of. But Proverbs 31:30 says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting." Because as we all know, we all get older. And those things that we could perhaps call our outward attraction in the younger years, after a while, are not quite so attractive. They get a bit saggy or baggy. Sorry, that's a horrible picture, I know, but anyway. 1 Peter 3, which was read for us, says, "What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition. Cultivate inner beauty." So the next level we're looking at, the next level in the dartboard or the archery target is the emotional level. No, I'm going to swap that around. It's not. It's the intellectual level. This is me thinking on my feet. The intellectual level. Now, the thing about the intellectual level is where you start to share your thoughts and feelings with somebody. It's where you begin to find out what interests them, what sparks them, what stimulates them. And in the case of King David, we're told that one of his wives, called Abigail, was not simply beautiful. He discovered she was an intelligent and beautiful woman. An intelligent and beautiful woman. He couldn't just look at her and say, "Wow, you're fantastic." He could talk to her. He could reason with her. He could find out her thoughts and opinions. That's a fantastic thing. David prized that very highly, and so should we. It's very important to be sharing what makes you tick with somebody else and learning from one another in a relationship. Then we come to the emotional level. And Mandy's here this evening, so I've got to be very careful because I did once promised her that I would never use her an example without first asking her permission. And I haven't, so I'm sorry about this. I'll sort that out later. I hope. And the thing is, when we first got together, I was somebody who liked to debate and discuss and argue, and Mandy wasn't. And I was doing that at an intellectual level. And Mandy was responding to me on an emotional level of, "I'm very upset. You disagreed with me. You didn't like my opinion." And we were actually doing two different things. I was in danger of ruining our relationship because I was operating on the intellectual level and Mandy was operating on an emotional level, and I didn't understand that. Because an emotional level is actually a very vulnerable level. It's where you actually are revealing something of who you are, your inner being. You're vulnerable. You're sensitive, you're sharing and giving and caring at a deeper level. And emotionally, we all need somebody we can cry with, somebody who's not going to judge us or try and fix the situation. But if you're responding on an intellectual level, that's actually precisely what you're going to try to do, which doesn't work, believe me. So, the emotional level is your best friend. It's that special bit of chemistry. It's the person you want to go on holiday with. We've just had a fantastic holiday together. It's where you know that you're safe with that person. And Song of Songs says in chapter 5, verse 16, "This is my lover, this is my friend." That sense of being vulnerable with the one who makes you laugh, the one you want to watch that movie with, the one you have special times with. Then we come to the spiritual level. Now, for the psychologist, the spiritual level is just really having a transcendent moment together, like watching a wonderful sunset or, you know, watching England win the Cricket World Cup or something. But for us as Christians, we understand it at a much, much deeper and more significant level. It's when you relate to each other on a spiritual level in the light of your mutual connection with Jesus Christ. It's the deepest part of who you are speaking to the deepest part of who somebody else is. It's the part that's eternal. It's the part that's transcendent. You see, before we come to Christ, we're spiritually dead. But once we come to Christ, he breathes life into our spirit, and we actually enter into a new level of living. And when we actually can relate spirit to spirit with somebody, then we're on a totally different level. And that's the level I think that Jonathan and David were at, if you listened to Will's talk last week, and if not, you really need to. Jonathan and David, you know, they were guys together, but they really loved each other. It said, Jonathan loved David as himself. You know, they would have given their lives for each other. These guys were solid together. And the thing about this being the deepest level at which two people can connect is that it helps us to see that the journey towards a full intimacy with somebody is really, at its root, a spiritual journey. But if you don't actually have that level, if you can't share that dynamic, then it's an area that's closed off to you. It's unexplored territory, no matter how strong your relationship may seem to be. That's why the Bible assumes that if you're going to enter into the most important of all relationships, that of marriage and becoming one flesh, that you're going to do it with somebody who's actually also a Christian, somebody who has that spiritual dimension to their lives. So Paul writes to the Corinthian church in chapter 7, "A wife must stay with her husband as long as he lives. If he dies, she's free to marry anyone she chooses. She will, of course, want to marry a believer." And he says slightly earlier in chapter 6, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever?" And Jesus himself said, "Hadn't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason the man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." And that's the goal of marriage. Such intimacy, such bonding is a God thing. The two become one. But if Christ isn't present in both lives, he can't join them together. He can't be the tie that binds. And it's not superficial or trivial. It's not like being an Arsenal or a Tottenham supporter. It's not like being Tory or Labour. It's something that goes much, much deeper. It is the most important dynamic of life. And again, being married to Mandy, you know, we first and foremost submitted our lives to Christ before we submitted our lives to one another. And we've been through some difficult times in our marriage. Everybody has. Being a Christian and getting married to another Christian doesn't guarantee a perfect marriage. But we've been able to come back to the things that bind us together and the blueprint that God has given us for marriage, and we've been able to find a way through. And we are together spiritually in a way that has enabled us to stand the test of time and to find Christ at the heart of our relationship and to strengthen each other in that faith because Christ is at the center of our relationship. He joins us together and he lies at the heart of our deepest intimacies. So there are four levels, the outer through to the bull. The outer, physical, then intellectual, then emotional, as you continue to reveal more of yourself and open your heart, and then finally, the spiritual. And ultimately, in marriage, the two become one, and there is a one fleshness. So it can be easy to be attracted to somebody who isn't a Christian. It can be easy, actually, to create a relationship. All of these relationship levels will exist in some form or other in every single relationship. And it may be that you've got friends, you've got people you can go to at times of real trouble, a real struggle. You've got people that you know will support you through thick and thin. You've got people who know you as if they were your mother, father, brother, sister. You know, these, whether it's the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, or the spiritual, they're all present in all of our relationships. And you might want to look around now and think, well, physically, yes. Emotionally, yes. Spiritually, oh yes. There are people in this church that I really am bound together with. But actually, if you are contemplating going out, getting into a relationship with a non-Christian, then you're setting a ceiling on the potential for that relationship, simply because there cannot be a spiritual union with somebody who isn't spiritually alive. And if you're not a Christian here this evening, and you're contemplating, or you're already going out with a Christian, then let me challenge you. If your partner has that relationship with Jesus Christ, and that gives you the ability to reach the pinnacle or the depth of intimacy in relationship, why would you not want to look at the claims of Jesus for yourself? Why would you not want to ask, how can I get hold of this spiritual life that at the moment I don't know anything of? At the very least, it shows respect for the person that you want to relate to. But the potential is tremendous. One fleshness. It's not possible outside of Christ. We all want a depth of relationship. And I'd say don't open yourself up to someone emotionally who cannot be God's best for you. And if you're in a relationship with a Christian and you're not a Christian, then please, please, please look at Alpha, look at the claims of Jesus, talk to Will, talk to Danny, talk to Ollie. We can help you to find that. I talked this morning about a couple that I knew way back in London when Mandy and I first got together in our house group. They attended our house group. And this couple, Reg and Doreen, were a lovely couple. But Reg had only recently come to the Lord after over 40 years of marriage. And Doreen said, you know, the difference in our relationship, it was like chalk and cheese, light and dark. Before, we had a good relationship. You know, we've got some wonderful children. It was a good marriage. Now, it's a great marriage. It's really come alive. Things that we can share that before were just out of bounds. Now, if they'd have had their time again, perhaps things would be different. What I'd say to you is learn the lesson from somebody like Reg and Doreen. You know, look for a Christian partner if you can. Or if you're not a Christian in your relationship, then look at Christ. Because there's better, and there's more, and there's deeper. So there are four relational levels of intimacy. All relationships will have some of them, but only the very closest and intimate will have all four. And I'd say to you this evening, be appropriate in how you address those relationships. Save the deepest and most intimate levels of your being for the most deserving. See who you can trust. See who you can lean on. Don't lean on people who can't cope with it. And only make a spiritual bond, a one fleshness with your life partner. Somebody who can go all the way with you to that deepest place, who can share that one flesh bond equally with you and with God. That's his blueprint. That's what he wants for all of his children. That's what he wants for all of his people. He wants us to know that intimacy, that depth that there exists in the Trinity between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he draws us into as Christians, into that inner circle, and he wants us all to share in it. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that the Bible gives us a lot of insight into relationship, and we thank you that you are the God of relationship, and that in Christ we are called together into the center of that relationship by coming into the heart of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you that in some mystical way, marriage is so much like the picture of Christ and his bride, the church, and that there are depths there that we can only explore as we know who you are, and as we yield and submit to you and to our life's partner. But we thank you that every level of relationship, Father God, requires sharing, requires vulnerability, and requires communication. Make us wise, Father, in all of these things, that we can really explore the relationships that you put before us, that we can know who we can trust, who we can lean on, and that we can be appropriate in how we share ourselves. Lord, we want you to be glorified in all that we are and all that we do. And we ask you to bless us in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.